This is Telling Tales with Ms. G here at 104.3. And tonight's story is called Loser by Chuck Palahniuk. So I'll give you a chance to get settled, and I'll be right back. Stay tuned for Telling Tales with Ms. G here tonight at KTOO 104.3 in Juneau. And I'm back. This is Ms. G with Telling Tales here tonight. And tonight's story by Mr. Chuck Palahniuk is called Loser. The show still looks exactly like when you were sick with a really high fever and you stayed home to watch TV all day. It's not Let's Make a Deal. It's not Wheel of Fortune. It's not Monty Hall or Pat Sajak. It's that other show where the big, loud voice calls your name and the audience says to come on down, you're the next contestant. And if you guess the cost of rice-a-roni, then you fly round trip to live for a week in Paris. It's that show. The prize is never anything useful like okay clothes or music or beer. The prize is always some vacuum cleaner or a washing machine, something you might maybe get excited to win if you were like somebody's maid. It's Rush Week, and the tradition is everybody pledging Zeta Delt, all take this big chartered school bus and need to go to some TV studio and watch them tape this game show. Rules say all the Zeta Delts wear the same red T-shirt with printed on it the Greek Zeta Delta Omega deals, silkscreened in black. First, you need to take a little stamp of Hello Kitty, maybe half a stamp. And wait for the flash. It's like this little paper stamp printed with Hello Kitty you suck on and swallow, except it's really blotter acid. All you do is, the Zeta Delts, sit together to make this red patch in the middle of the studio audience and scream and yell to get on TV. These are not the gamma grabathighs. They're not the lambda rapidates. The Zeta Delts, they're who everybody wants to be. How the outfit will affect you, if you're going to freak out and kill yourself or eat somebody alive, they don't even tell you. It's traditional. Ever since you were a little kid with a fever, the contestants they call down to play this game show, the big voice always calls for one guy who's a United States Marine wearing some band uniform with brass buttons. There's always somebody's old grandma wearing a sweatshirt. There's an immigrant from someplace where you can't understand half of what he says. There's always some rocket scientist with a big belly and his shirt pocket stuck full of pins. It's just how you remember it growing up. Only now all the Zeta Delts start yelling at you. Yelling so hard it scrunches their eyes shut. Everybody's just these red shirts and big open mouths. All their hands are pushing you out from your seat, shoving you into the aisle. The big voice is saying your name, telling you to come on down. You're the next contestant. In your mouth, the Hello Kitty tastes like pink bubblegum. It's the Hello Kitty, the popular kind, not the strawberry flavor or the chocolate flavor. Somebody's brother cooks at night in the General Sciences building where he works as a janitor. The paper stamp feels caught partway down your throat, except you don't want to gag on TV, not on recorded video with strangers watching forever. All the studio audience is turned around to see you stumble down the aisle in your red T-shirt. All the TV cameras zoomed in. Everybody clapping exactly the way you remember it. Those Las Vegas lights flashing, outlining everything on stage. It's something new. but you've watched it a million zillion times before, and just on automatic, you take the empty desk next to where the United States Marine is standing. The game show host, who's not Alex Trebek, he waves one arm, and a whole part of the stage starts to move. It's not an earthquake, but one whole wall rolls on invisible wheels, all the lights everywhere flashing on and off, only fast, just blink, 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 except faster than a human mouth could say. This whole big back wall of the stage slides to one side, and from behind it steps out a giant fashion model, blazing with about a million billion sparkles on her tight dress, waving one long, skinny arm to show you a table with eight chairs that you'd see in somebody's dining room on Thanksgiving with a big cooked turkey and yams and everything. Her fashion model waist, about as big around as somebody's neck. Each of her breasts the size of your head. Those flashing Las Vegas kind of lights blinking all around. The big voice saying, who made this table, out of what kind of wood. Saying the suggested retail price it's worth. To win, the host lifts up this little box. Like a magician, he shows everybody what's underneath. Just this whole thing of bread in its naturally occurring state, the way bread comes before it's made into anything you can eat, like a sandwich or French toast. Just this bread, the whole way your mom might find it at the farm or wherever bread grows. The table and chairs are totally, easily yours, except you have to guess the price of this big bread. Behind you, all the Zeta Delts crowd really close together in their t-shirts, making what looks like a one giant red pucker in the middle of the studio audience. Not even looking at you, all their haircuts are just huddled up, making a big hairy center. It's like forever later when your phone rings and a Zeta Delt voice says, what's to bid? That bread just sitting there the whole time, covered in a brown crust. The big voice says it's loaded with 10 essential vitamins and minerals. The old game show host, he's looking at you like maybe he's never, ever seen a telephone before. He goes, and what do you bid? And you go, $8? From the look on the old grandma's face, it's like maybe they should call some paramedics for her heart attack. Dangling out of one sweatshirt cuff, this scrumpled scrap of Kleenex looks like leaked out stuffing, flapping white, like she's some trash teddy bear somebody loved too hard. To cut you off using some brilliant strategy, the United States Marine, the bastard, he says $9. Then to cut him off, the rocket science guy says $10. It must be some trick question because the old grandma says $1.99. And all the music starts loud and the lights flash on and off. The host hauls the granny up onto the stage and she's crying and plays a game where she throws a tennis ball to win a sofa and a pool table. Her grandma's face looks just as smashed and wrinkled as that Kleenex she pulled out from her sweatshirt cuff. The big voice calls another granny to take her place, and everything keeps rushing forward. The next round, you need to guess the price of some potatoes, but like a whole big thing of real alive potatoes from before they become food. The way they come from the miners or whoever that dig potatoes in Ireland or Idaho or some other place starting with an I. Not even made into potato chips or french fries. If you guess right, you get some big clock inside a wood box like a Dracula coffin standing on one end, except with these church bells inside the box that ding ding whatever time it is. Over your phone, your mom calls it a grandfather clock. You show it to her on video and she says it looks cheap. You're on stage with the TV cameras and lights, all the Zeta Delts call waiting you, and you cup your phone to your chest and go, my mom wants to know, do you have anything nicer I could maybe win? You show your mom those potatoes on video, and she asks, did the old host guy buy them at the A&P or at the Safeway? You speed dial your dad, and he asks about the income tax liability. Probably it's the Hello Kitty, but the face of this big Dracula clock just scowls at you. It's like the secret hidden eyes, the eyelids open up, and the teeth start to show, and you can hear about a million billion giant alive cockroaches crawling around inside the wood box of it. The skin of all the supermodels goes all waxy, smiling with their face not looking at anything. You say the price your mom tells you. The United States Marine says $1 more. The rocket science guy says a dollar higher than him. Only this round, you win. All those potatoes open their little eyes. Except now you need to guess the price of a whole cow full of milk in a box, the way milk comes in the kitchen fridge. You have to guess the cost of a whole thing of breakfast cereal like you'd find in the kitchen cabinet. After that, a giant deal of pure salt, the way it comes from the ocean, only in a round box, but more salt than anybody could eat in an entire lifetime. Enough salt, you could rim approximately 1 million billion margaritas. All the Zeta Delts start texting you like crazy. Your inbox is piling up. Next come these eggs, like you'd find at Easter, only plain white and lined up inside some special kind of cardboard case. A whole complete set of 12. These really minimalist eggs, pure white, so white you could just look at them forever. Only right away you need to guess at a big bottle, like a yellow shampoo, except it's something gross called cooking oil. You don't know what for. And the next thing is you need to choose the right price of something frozen. You cup one hand over your eyes to see past the footlights, except all the Zeta Delts are lost in the glare. All you can hear is they're screaming different prices of money, $50,000, $1 million, $10,000, just loony people yelling just numbers. Like the TV studio is just some dark jungle and people are just some monkeys just screeching their monkey sounds. The molars inside your mouth, they're grinding together so hard you can taste the hot metal of your feelings. That silver belting in your back teeth. Meantime, the sweat stains creep down from your armpit to your elbow, all black red down both sides of your Zeta Delt t-shirt. The flavor of melted silver and pink bubblegum. It's sleep apnea only in the day. You need to remind yourself to take the next breath. Take another breath. While the supermodels walking on sparkly high heels try pimping the audience in a microwave oven, pimping a treadmill while you keep staring to decide if they're really good looking. They make you spin this doohickey so it rolls around. You have to match a bunch of different pictures so they go together perfect. Like you're some white rat in Principles of Behavioral Psychology 201. They make you guess what can of baked beans costs more than another. All that fuss to win something you sit on to mow your lawn. Thanks to your mom telling you prices, you win a thing like you'd put in a room covered in Easy Care, wipe clean, stain-resistant vinyl. You win one of these deals people might ride on vacation for a lifetime of wholesome fun and family excitement. You win something hand-painted with the old-world charm inspired by the recent release of a blockbuster epic motion picture. It's the same as when you felt sick with a high fever and your little kid heart would pound and you couldn't catch your breath just from the idea that somebody might take home an electric organ. No matter how sick you felt, you'd watch the show until your fever broke. All the flashing lights and patio furniture, it seemed to make you feel better, to heal you or to cure you in some way. It's like forever later, but you went all the way to the showcase round. There, it's just you and the old granny wearing the sweatshirt from before, just somebody's regular grandma, but she's lived through world wars and nuclear bombs. Probably she saw all the Kennedys get shot and Abraham Lincoln, and now she's bobbing up and down in her tennis shoes, toes, clapping her granny hands and crowded by supermodels and flashing lights while the big voice makes her the promise of a sports utility vehicle, a widescreen television, a floor-length fur coat. And probably it's the acid, but it's like nothing seems to add up. It's like if you live a boring enough life knowing the price of Roy Cerrone and hot dog wieners, your big reward is you get to live for a week in some hotel in London. You get to ride on some airplane to Rome. Rome, like in Italy. You fill your head full of enough ordinary junk, and your payoff is giant supermodels giving you a snowmobile. If this game show wants to see how smart you really are, they need to ask you how many calories in a regular onion cheddar cheese bagel. Go ahead. Ask you the price of your cell phone minutes any hour of the day. Ask you about the cost of a ticket for going 30 miles over the speed limit. Ask the round trip fare to Cabo for spring break. Down to the penny, you can tell them the price of decent seats for the Panic at the Disco reunion tour. They should ask you the price of a Long Island iced tea, the price of Marsha Sanders' abortion. Ask about your expensive herpes medication you have to take, but don't want your folks to know you need. Ask the price of your history of European art textbook, which costs $300. Yeah, thank you very much. ask what the stamp of Hello Kitty set you back. The sweatshirt granny bid some regular amount of money for her showcase. Just like always, the numbers of her bid appear in tiny lights, glowing on the front of her contestant desk where she stands. Here, all the Zeta Delts are yelling. Their phone keeps ringing and ringing. For your showcase, a supermodel rolls out 500 pounds of raw beefsteak. The steaks fit inside a barbecue. The barbecue fits on board a speedboat that fits inside a trailer for towing it, that fits a massive fifth-wheel pickup truck that fits inside the garage of a brand new house in Austin. Austin, like in Texas. Meantime, all the Zeta Delts stand up. They get to their feet and step up on their audience sheets, cheering and waving, not chanting your name, but chanting Zeta Delt, chanting Zeta Delt, chanting Zeta Delt, loud enough so it records for the broadcast. It's probably the acid, but you're battling some old nobody you've never met fighting over crap you don't even want. Probably it's the acid. But right now, right here and now, screw declaring a business major. Screw general principles of accounting 301. Stuck partway down your throat, something makes you gag. And on purpose, by accident, you bid a million, trillion, gazillion dollars and 99 cents. And everything shuts down to quiet. Maybe just a little clicking sounds of all those Las Vegas lights blinking on and off, on and off, on and off. It's like forever later when the game show host gets up too close, standing at your elbow, and he hisses, "You can't do that." The host hiss, "You have to play this game to win." Up close, his host face looks cracked into a million billion jagged fragments, only glued back together with pink makeup, like Humpty Dumpty or a jigsaw puzzle. His wrinkles, like the battle scars of playing his same TV game since forever started. All his gray hairs, always combed in the same direction. The big voice asks, that big deep voice booming out of nowhere, the voice of some gigantic giant man you can't see. He demands, "Can you please repeat your bid?" And maybe you don't know what you want out of your life, but you know it's not a grandfather clock. A million trillion, you say. A number too big to fit on the front of your contestant desk. More zeros than all the bright lights in the game show world. And probably it's the Hello Kitty. But tears slop out both your eyes and you're crying because for the first time since you were a little kid, you don't know what comes next. Tears wrecking the front of your red t-shirt, turning the red parts black so the Greek Omega deals don't make any sense. The voice of one Zeta Delt, alone in all that big, quiet audience, he yells, "You suck." On the little green screen of your phone, a text message says, "A-hole." The text? It's from your mom. The sweatshirt grandma, she's crying because she won. You're sobbing because you don't know why. It turns out the granny wins the snowmobiles and the fur coat. She wins the speedboat and the beef sticks. The table and chairs and sofa. All the prizes of both the showcases because your bid was, well, way, way too high. She's jumping around, her bright white false teeth throwing smiles in every direction. The game show host gets everybody started clapping their hands, except the Zeta Delts, they don't. The family of the old granny climbs up on stage. All the kids and grandkids and great-grandkids of hers. And they wander over to touch the shiny sports utility vehicle, touch the sports models, the supermodels, the host. The granny plants red lipstick kisses all over the fractured pink face of the game show host. She's saying thank you, thank you. Right up to when her granny eyes roll up backward inside her head and her hand grabs at the sweatshirt where it covers her heart. You have been listening to me read Loser by Chuck Palahniuk. This is Telling Tales with Ms. G here at 104.3 in Juneau. I'll be right back. Pin. Hi, this is Ms. G. I'm back. I hope you enjoyed Chuck Palahniuk's story, The Loser, or Loser, not the. I enjoyed reading that for you. We have a few minutes left, and I went out and I found some wonderful poems because, well, it is spring. So I thought I'd give you a little taste of that. For winter's rains and ruins are over, and all the season of snows and sins, the days dividing lover and lover, the light that loses, the night that wins. And time remembered is grief forgotten, and frosts are slain and flowers begotten. And in green underwood and cover, blossom by blossom, the spring begins. That was Algernon Charles Swinburne. His Spring, Atlanta and Caledon. The month of May was come, when every lusty heart beginneth to blossom and to bring forth fruit. For like as herbs and trees bring forth fruit and flourish in May, and likewise every lusty heart that is in any manner a lover springeth and flourish in lusty deeds. For it giveth unto all lovers courage, that lusty month of May. Sir Thomas Malory. A little madness in the spring is wholesome, even for a king. Ms. Emily Dickinson. I sing of brooks, of blossoms, birds and bowers, of April, May, of June, and July flowers. I sing of maypoles, hot carts, wassails, wakes, of bridegrooms, brides, and of their bridal cakes. That was Robert Herrick. In just spring, when the world is mud, luscious the little lame balloon man whistles far and wee. That was E.E. Cummings. And two more. The sun was warm, but the wind was chill. You know how it is with an April day. When the sun is out and the wind is still, you're 1 month on in the middle of May. But if you so much as dare to speak, a cloud comes over the sunlit arch, a wind comes off a frozen peak, and you're 2 months back in the middle of March. Mr. Robert Frost. Oh, how the spring of love resembleth the uncertain glory of an April day. That was Mr. William Shakespeare. And that ends my wonderful poetry for spring. We've got 4 minutes left. I'll just leave you with some music. Until next time, this is Ms. G bringing you Telling Tales here at 104.3 in Juneau, Alaska. Good night till next time.